Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. Friday, March 1st. Is tomorrow March 1st? I lost track.
Is today the 28th?
Yes.
Bro, 28 days in February.
That's right. That's right. As we discussed last night. Yeah.
This is Will Brinson. I'm joined by Jason Lacapora, Pete Prisco, Jamie Eisenberg. The spirit of Lamar Jackson is with us.
Always with me. In my heart, apparently.
No kidding. We saw you cry over it once.
Yeah, we've had multiple debates about various things. Friendship.
Go measure your
love.
Hands, Prisco.
I got little hands.
How many reps Pete can bench? How many reps do you think Pete can bench?
Right now?
Yeah.
Without warming up?
225 pounds. Without warming up.
What would you do? What would your warm up, if you were able to warm up, what would
you do? I do lightweights first to get it going.
But your warm up would be more work, more weights?
Yeah, you got to warm up with 135 or something. You never did that?
I don't do weights, dude. Yeah. I do cardio.
I don't do much weights anymore either, though. Not good for you. But I'm disappointed in these guys over here. This guy...
You're always consistently disappointed in the youth of America.
No, so Dalton Risner from
Kansas State.
From Kansas State. He walks up, and he's all bowed up, and he gets in there, and they're, like, all around cheering him on. And by, like, 15, he was huffing and puffing. He barely got to 19. I think he had 19 or 20. Come on, dude. You're an offensive lineman. You've been training for this.
Good thing,
you can do 30-something.
Good thing he's not trying to set the world record for... most times lifting 125 pounds.
He's screwed.
Let me ask you this, though. Doesn't, if something is going to be judged in front of others and you need to do as many as you can, wouldn't you train yourself to do?
Not at the detriment of everything else that I could be spending my time doing.
Counterpoint,
that actually pertains more to his actual craft, which isn't lifting weights, it's playing football.
Right, but they want you to be a guy.
Orlando Brown didn't lift any last year.
I get it. It's not. I'm saying it's not the end all be all measurement, and it shouldn't be measured anymore. I'll be honest with you.
That's the reason why you don't train that hard for it. Also, you could tear a pec if you like.
And it's not like he did.
We saw a guy tear a pec here last year. Remember?
Was that here last year? I wasn't here last year.
Billy Price.
Yeah, I wasn't here last year. You were here.
Oh, that's right. You had a party that week or something.
At the Brinson compound.
There was a clown. There was a friend. You had to work around the clown schedule. At least it's not my thighs.
There was a lot of friends
you
there.
Steve
a lot of friends.
Thigh.
They invited all his friends over, all 6,000 of them. Are you going to get into the definition of friend?
No, it seems like
we should put a poll up, I think, though.
Yeah, put a poll up.
Pick six, like a what quality. Qualifies as a friend.
Okay. That's good. Yeah,
do you have to know their kids' names? Like, would you at least have had to have 5 phone conversations with them in the history of your life? Do you know where they live?
I've had like 5 phone conversations? I don't think
3? Maybe I'm setting the bar too high. I don't know.
Have we had 5 phone conversations?
Yeah.
Do you count podcasts?
Well, you've called my house way more than 5 times.
Yeah, I know.
You've become acquaintances with his dog. Yes.
Yeah. You know my dog's name.
If I type 4 into my Skype,
it probably
thing,
brings me up.
It's the first
be
one.
Like four
yeah,
one
yeah, yeah. And my mom has a 4 number too.
So yeah, but definition of a friend.
Okay. So podcast count as phone conversations. I would agree. I didn't want to make that claim because then.
Well, you just gave him his out for the
but
person
usually
we're discussing.
Before we start taping, there's 5 to 15 minutes of us
chatter,
griping,
yeah,
about stuff that could never hear the that.
Right, that's
we
true.
Would not want to accidentally
Pete,
release.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying?
That's
it's
fair,
not like
that's
it's just strictly. It's like you call and
course,
it's like
no, yeah.
like these radio guys who call me and it's like, you know what I mean? Okay, let's just
It's like hey, what's up?
Let's get the 12 minutes over with.
But in his world, those are his.
But they
good buddies.
They were at the clown party.
That's good. All 6,000 of them.
All right. Anyway, we don't need to talk about my friend.
How'd your dad get? How many bushels of oysters did your dad have to have for the 6,000 friends? Party
6,000
the Brinson compound.
At the Brinson compound.
We never run out of oysters.
We run out of oysters every year, twice a year.
You have oyster parties twice a year.
Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Oh, everybody comes over for Thanksgiving and has the oysters.
Yes, ironically, my parents probably invite people that I'm like, oh, they're your friends.
We don't just cook bird in the Brinson compound. We have oysters.
So the big news today, Bryce Kyle Harper.
Oh, nobody cares about baseball. We're talking about football.
what stood out to you as the big news on Thursday?
Kyler
Murray's height?
Yeah.
More Kyler Murray talk. Do you think that Kyler Murray's now justified as a first-round top-end quarterback because of his height?
No. I mean, he's probably going in the first round.
Where would you take Kyler Murray?
Me?
Of course he is.
He's going in the first round.
No, of course he is.
He's a top 10 pick.
He's going to the top 5.
He's going to top 5.
I don't think so. Top 10, probably.
Somebody will trade up.
Top 5, yes.
Somebody will trade up and take him in the top 5.
Yeah. I was what if he throws like crap at his pro day?
Is he going ahead of Haskins?
What in the film makes you think he's going to throw crap?
I just watched a bunch of throws that weren't that good. I show Brinson some.
Well, I would say we watched together.
Right.
Sure. I was also analyzing the film.
And what do you think?
NFL analyst. He missed some throws. He missed a lot. He had wide open throws cooked up by Lincoln Murray. Lincoln Riley.
And I watch professional football, guys making $25 million a year who miss throws.
But it just
like Lamar
look,
Jackson.
I like him. I like his
He's
game.
He's making $25 million a year.
I like his game. But there are flaws in his game that you just obviously
there are flaws in everybody's game.
Right, but he's got a lot more flaws that show
he's
up.
He's also got a ton of upside that you seem to be negating.
Well, I can run around. We saw
he is the at worst the second best quarterback in a two quarterback draft.
I don't
he's going
necessarily
in
agree
the top
with that.
Five.
It does concern me, Pete, that your criticisms of Kyler Murray are similar to your criticisms of Russell Wilson until you cried like a baby
and
apologized.
Until he started playing quarterback like the position's supposed to be played.
Like it's supposed to be played.
The criticism
there
was valid.
There we go. Look, the way that he wants to see it played. We're back to aesthetics.
They won because they ran the ball and played great defense. They didn't win because of Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson
now they have to win.
He was a 700-yard rushing quarterback.
Now they have to win because of Russell Wilson.
Cam went to the Super Bowl, won an MVP as a runner.
Dude,
as
for like
a
3 years,
is Cam
he's
a good
turned
thrower?
A team that
Cam's also 6'5". And
you thought they were going 4-12,
right?
So
I said he's become a legit.
And the year before that, they're not even hanging around the periphery of the playoffs.
Why haven't they paid
if he's
him
not
yet?
An MVP?
But there are a lot of quarterbacks that take
why
time
haven't
to
they paid
you know
him
develop
yet?
Into
right?
the stars that they become.
Right. Why haven't they paid their star quarterback yet?
That's good.
The Seahawks.
You think that's smart?
They've already paid him.
No,
you say it like it's a good thing.
It's
dumb. You should have did it before Aaron Rodgers got
done. It's dumb, but why haven't they paid him yet?
You'd have to ask them. I don't understand.
Well, if that's a franchise quarterback, and I think he is, and I would have paid him, why haven't they paid him? Is there doubts about him?
No.
You should ask them.
He's cleared up any and all doubts.
Huh?
He's cleared up all doubts at this point.
He's clean.
You apologized to him in the Super Bowl.
He's cleared all my doubts about him.
You got down on your knees and kissed
his butt. I have no doubt. I would pay him, but why haven't they?
Don't know.
It's not a mystery?
I don't think that they can.
Hey, I've been talking about this way before anybody else. So
right.
You're,
I would
you're
pay
preaching
him.
To the choir.
I would make him one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league and keep him around. Why haven't they?
Maybe they're going to draft Kyler Murray and trade Russell Wilson.
That
maybe,
would be really
maybe,
stupid.
Maybe they think they could get three number ones for Russell Wilson. I don't know.
Three number ones?
Why not?
I'm not giving up three number ones
why
for
would he,
anybody
why,
except Patrick Mahomes.
Russell would definitely fetch three number ones.
Why would he not fetch three number ones?
If Khalil Mack gets two, Russell's getting three.
Amari
if you
Cooper
called the Dolphins
one.
Right now and you said, hey, Miami, John Schneider, what will you give me for Russell Wilson? They'd be like,
veteran?
Four number ones or five, six?
Are you crazy? I'm not giving up three number ones for anybody except maybe Patrick Mahomes because he's young.
How many would you give up?
Russell's what, 30?
Yeah.
He's going to play till he's 40? We're in a league where there were how many guys, how many quarterbacks over the age of 35 in the MVP race?
You wouldn't give up 3 ones for Luck?
No.
What about Baker? Give up 3 ones for Russell
before
I give him 3 runs.
I'd give up 3 ones in my pinky.
You got to remember, 3 ones are cheap, too. That's cheap. You're not going to pay, you're going to have to pay that quarterback.
The money is cheap.
The money's cheap.
Sure. If you hit on them. Otherwise, they're expensive mistakes.
The right one.
Huh?
If you get the right one.
Or two.
This is a proven entity.
Correct.
Dude's never missed a snap.
Then you don't have a
plays
so you don't have a first round pick for the next 2 years.
You got Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Go find some receivers in the second round.
I'm not
the Dolphins have been looking for a quarterback since your boy Marino retired.
The Washington Redskins, the entirety of Dan Snyder's existence as their owner. I mean,
I'm not giving up.
The Redskins should call.
When have the Cincinnati Bengals had a
quarterback? Do you don't think there's any scenarios where these offers have been made? Because why only see trades like this ever happen?
Because you just assume that you'd never trade Russell Wilson.
By the way, in the middle of this, I have to go do a radio hit, but I would not trade 3 ones for anybody.
But you want Pete Prisker leaving to go do a radio hit with his friends. Tiki Barber and Brandon Tierney, our friends. Where do you put Kyler Murray ahead or behind Haskins right now? Do you have an opinion on him yet?
I don't. I mean, part of me, the size is not a huge thing for me. I'm biased, I guess. I think he's the best quarterback in this draft.
Kyler.
Yes.
I would agree.
Would you take him first overall?
No.
If I needed a quarterback? Like if I was Arizona, would I? Or you're saying hypothetically?
In a hypothetical, you're a team. Let's say you're Chris Greer or the Dolphins, and you have the number one pick.
Absolutely.
If I don't have a quarterback, then absolutely I would take him.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, not if you're the Cardinals. I'm saying if you're...
I think if the Cardinals can get a first-round pick for Rosen, then I would take Murray first.
I don't see that happening.
I would agree. That's a problem.
So, the scenario I did in my mock draft, where if the Cardinals get fifth, they send Rosen to the Redskins for 15, and then would you do that?
If you, yes. You if they're sold on Kyler Murray and they're not sold on Rosen, then yes.
Do you think the Cardinals?
If I'm the Redskins, though, why am I trading pick 15 for Rosen?
Because you don't have a
quarterback. The Redskins feel they can't get to the top five to get the guy they want.
Because otherwise, you're taking Daniel Jones and starting him.
I'll sign Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay, but yeah, you're right. I'm saying in the hypothetical, like you trade Josh Rosen to the Dolphins.
But does Teddy Bridgewater solve their long term answer?
Maybe. I mean, I would. If you're asking me, my options are sign Teddy Bridgewater for 3 years. $30 million, or pick up the remainder of Josh Rosen's rookie salary after another team may have already damaged him. I'll go with Teddy Bridgewater.
That's fair. What do you hear about the Cardinals and
I just hear they want out of one. I think this is they will fan the flames of Kyler Murray as much as possible to create as robust of a trade market, hoping somebody gives us the farm to come up and take this kid in our spot.
Ideally, they trade with the Raiders, right? Flip with the Raiders, let the Raiders come take Murray at one, trade down.
I think Miami, Washington. I don't think
Miami's giving up their future.
Yeah, I don't know that
13
Miami
to 1
would come
is
up,
tough.
Would come up that high either.
Yeah.
The Giants or the Jaguars?
The Giants don't trade in the first round. Dave Gettleman doesn't move in the first round.
Well, he said no guts, no glory. I mean, what do you think that was in reference to?
He doesn't trade. He doesn't move in the first round. He stands where he is and he takes his pick.
Well, I don't know if he goes to one, but he goes to three. He may not have to go one. He may be able to get Haskins at three.
If somebody's
taking Kyler at one.
Who else is trying to move around in this top half of the draft? Everybody?
Yeah, it's too hard. It's too soon to say. I mean, I just know there are definitely certain teams that know they're not a player away. Specifically, the Cardinals and the Jets are motivated sellers.
And so they're trying to get down. The Jets are? You think the Jets won out of three?
I mean, yeah. I mean, the Jets are hoping somebody does what they did a year ago. For, you know, they had to be in a particular spot to say, okay, well, we're getting Baker or Sam.
Yeah.
Three could be that same kind of a spot.
Or Rosen, because they didn't know what the Giants were going to do.
No, I don't think anybody thought the Giants were taking a quarterback last year. I don't think Jets
Gettleman,
thought they
look,
were.
That's the thing about Gettleman. He is transparent about what he's going to do. Like he doesn't lie. He sat there and told everybody all preseason or all offseason leading up to the draft that Saquon Barkley is a special prospect and he loved it. And then he took Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I mean, I think the decision for him was Saquon Barkley or maybe the guard.
Yeah.
And that was my take on it the whole time, and that's probably was the final decision that they made. Look, well, per your theory, sometimes you have to draft, what did he say? You've got to draft a guy even though you have somebody there. And then he said, no guts, no glory.
Do you think the Giants take a quarterback?
I think the Giants take a quarterback.
You think they will?
Yes.
You think they will?
Yeah, and I think they may trade to three to make sure they get one of those two.
Wow. Haskins or Murray? Or do you think
Haskins. I mean, I think they're team Haskins.
So this Murray stuff is great for the Giants then?
If that's the guy they want, yeah.
It's great for the Cardinals. It's great for the Giants. It's great for the Jets. Like, they're all of I guarantee you people with the Jets and the Cardinals, when that 5-10 and an eighth or whatever came across, were high-fiving.
Even though they don't want Kyler.
Well, I think the Cardinals would want him, but I think that's a... That's a tough sell. Like, just traded up to take a kid at 10.
Yeah.
You put him with a coach who you hired, whether he was ready to do it or not. You put him with that coordinator. You fired that coordinator 6 weeks in. You fired that coach 17 weeks in. You went 3-13. Your best player demanded a trade twice. Like, and now that's all on Rosen?
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough.
You know?
Like, yeah. I think you have to ride out Rosen if you're Steve Kime.
I mean,
look, it's, I think it's still too soon to write him off too.
I agree.
And if he's damaged, they damaged him. So fix him. You hired this quarterback guru.
But the same thing though. I mean, Goff, was he damaged?
Yeah.
And he was fixed.
Right.
Trubisky, was he damaged?
I don't know that Trubisky's fixed.
Okay, but
but like he was much better.
He's on the road.
Yeah.
He's on the road to being fixed.
Yeah.
Had a better season.
So I think you easily see Rosen having the same type of impact.
Yeah, no, it remains to be seen, obviously.
What do you think the Broncos are going to do?
I think selling low on Rosen now would be really piss poor.
No, but if there was a team that was enamored with him, that was picking 12, 15, whatever, and really wants to get him, it's not a bad move to make if you have the right scenario in place.
The other big news of the day, Thursday, Jason Witten detired. What the hell? Where did that come from? You know, like sometimes
came from his heart, man.
Yeah, he pulled a rabbit out of his head. you know, sometimes these things, news will break, and like you get this like surprising palpable buzz going on. That was the case of the Witten thing. Like everybody's like, what?
But it's like, I don't know.
Why are
these
Cowboys
going to catch like 37 balls? You know what I mean? Like he's going to average.
Is over under according to,
you know, I don't know, 8.9 yards per catch.
Is over under 57 and a half for catches?
I don't see it.
That's too many.
I don't see it.
That's too many?
It's too high.
You think he's catching four balls a game? I don't know.
60
if
catches.
If he is, they're in trouble.
60 catches at his age after a year off.
And 60 catches for how many yards?
Do you think this is more about him? And I don't want to go too deep on the broadcasting
side. If he was the exact same guy, and last year he started a landscaping company and decided halfway through the season he didn't want to do it anymore, and then during the combine announces I'm going back to the Cowboys, I don't think people are stopping what they're doing to talk about it on shows like that. Like
no.
We did all day long.
It's because he went
from the booth and there was so much attention given to what he did at the, you know what I mean? And how that went.
I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
The future of Monday Night Football. When Antonio Gates came back, I don't remember like leading sports shows.
Nope.
Right? When he unretired,
Gates never retired though.
Huh?
Gates never retired.
Right, well, but he was like.
But he was like out. He was like pretty much out of the league. Like, people had a chance to sign him for like 7 months
ACL,
and nobody did.
But once Hunter Henry tore his ACL, it was pretty obvious that was.
Yeah, but like, right, it wasn't a huge deal. Like, it is with. Yeah.
It's also happening in an NFL event.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And like it's
and
the Cowboys.
Dude who was in the media at this what has now become a huge media event, the Combine, that gets better ratings than NBA playoff games.
Yeah.
Like, so I think it's just the confluence of all that.
Sure.
But like, when we get to like week eight, if we're talking about Witten as being like the X factor, whether they win or lose
Jason
these games,
Witten being an X factor for five years.
Exactly. That's my point.
You know, he's never led the league in like anything.
He's an exceptional blocker at the position.
Maybe he let him catch his
like,
one year.
I wanted to say this when positive Pete Prisco was here, like, cause he just threw out, like, when all this went down, like, you know, Hall of Famer, and now we know he's not going in 5 years. I'm like, is he an automatic first ballot Hall of Famer?
No, but he is
for
a Hall
me,
of Famer.
He's not an automatic first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's gonna get the longevity vote.
Right, he accumulated, he amassed.
He's also got the good guy.
No, he's got all that stuff going for him. There'll be a lot of sympathetic voters.
Do you think
his turn in the booth
hurt his Hall of Fame?
No.
No. No. I figured he's a guy who gets in, but in this era of prolific passing, like, Tony Gonzalez, yeah, start the clock that second he retires because you know where he's going to be in 5 years. Having watched this guy's whole career, I don't think of him that
way.
Who
is more of a Hall of Famer, Jason Witten or Antonio Gates?
Gates.
I think Gates.
I think a lot of people would say Witten. I agree with you, Gates. But this is Bomani Jones' thing. Like our friend Bomani Jones.
I cannot consider him a friend. I like him. I think highly of him. We tweet at each other every now and again.
But not friends.
I'm not a friend.
Okay.
He would not consider me his friend.
Right. Anyway,
we should do a whole podcast about friend or not friend.
Yeah, we were having friend debates. It's a whole long story. We call the compiler. He calls him the Witten a compiler.
Sure.
And he's right on. Like Witten.
Well, you have a couple of those guys that are going to be probably in the Hall of Fame. You have Frank Gore.
Sure.
Is going to end up in the Hall of Fame. Curtis Martin, I would say, falls in that category. Of a guy just played a long time.
Yeah.
Ends up in the Hall of Fame.
And Martin got in faster than I thought he would too.
Yep. But no, Jace, you know.
To me, I value a peak more than I do length of time. You know what I'm saying?
To me, he's a Lee Smith. Like, Lee Smith had to wait a little while. But I'm saying this cat probably won't because enough, I've been enough people in the media.
Baseball.
Okay,
what about the reliever?
No, I was just making sure you were talking about Lee Smith, the
reliever. Yeah. Like, I think it's more of a longevity guy.
Yeah.
Who has to wait a little while to get in. But the sense I get from being at this media event around media and just hearing people just so quickly throw out Hall of Famer and starting the clock and all that.
Jason Witten's an interesting one because you have to factor in his ability to block at a position that does accrue stats. And so as a blocker for that position, he has been among the best of his era.
Right. Among the best. But like I think most impactful tight ends – during the length and breadth of Jason Witten's career, he's probably not. He might be the fourth or fifth name I get to, but like he's not.
Who's ahead of him?
Tony Gonzalez, Gronk. I'm putting Gates ahead of him.
Yep.
That's just off the top of my head.
Of his era?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. And by the time, you know, Kelsey's done, he'll be ahead of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he stays healthy. Sure.
I mean, you can say Zach Ertz is going to be ahead of him if he stays healthy.
But like, I think he's going to be, I get the sense, it's going to be wham, bam, thank you, man. Yeah, like Urlacher, that was another one. Like that one shocked me.
Yep.
Really? He's a first ballot
that was
Hall of
shocking.
Famer?
Yep.
Like that used to mean a little something more to me. I'm an old man.
Well, like, I think it's crazy, but also fascinating that there are lots of people who don't think Calvin Johnson is a Hall of Famer.
That's ridiculous.
Well, Calvin Johnson falls into the Tony Boselli, Terrell Davis, you know, I mean, one
no,
guy
but he's
one
Kurt
guy.
Warner. He's TD. He's...
Yeah.
When he played, he was among the best in the position. Yep.
I mean, week in, week out.
Sure.
Yeah. See, that to me, if you are able to be the best at your position or the best in the NFL, like
on largely crappy teams with nothing else around him on offense.
Right.
Like, he carried teams.
Like, I don't know that at any point anybody was like, Jason Witten's the best tight end in football. Like, Jason, there's
No. And obviously, you know, fantasy football wise, you know, when you look at it, like, I'm going to do the story on tight ends.
That's the bench press behind us.
I'm going to do the story on tight ends for previewing the position in the fall. You had essentially guys that he's transcended, but Gates and Gonzalez were kind of the guys that set the position to a different level, but they were by themselves. Then the next two guys were Gronk and Graham.
Like, I'll just say it.
And then it was, you know, who's the guys we have now, which are...
If Witten played for the Cincinnati Bengals his entire career, we're not even having this conversation right now. Like, if everything was exactly the same, even including Monday Night Football, I don't think we're having this conversation.
You think he's just not a Hall of Famer?
No, I think he's a Hall of Famer, but we're not sitting here...
debating it.
During the combine, talking about him for 15
minutes. If the Bengals tweeted out, Jason Witten's coming back, he'd be like...
And he had the exact same career, and was in the booth, and was as good or bad, or whatever your perception of what he did in the booth, like...
Oh,
I think
totally
we mentioned it at the end of this
Cowboys
thing, but I don't think it's a discussion.
It's Cowboys and the Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and the Cowboys play, even when the Cowboys suck, they're on national television four times a year, and it's the brand, and it's Jerry Jones, and it's all the storylines, and it's larger than life. Like, that stuff still carries weight.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
If this is 2 years from now, and Greg Olson decides he's coming back after he steps away.
And he does the exact same job.
And does the exact same job.
And has a very similar career, we're not even talking about.
That's a great point. It's not... Is Greg Olson a better tight end than Jason Witten?
He probably had better seasons, not better career.
I don't think he was as complete.
He had a 3-year stretch of at least 1,000 yards.
Yeah. But I don't think he's going and grinding in the run game the way that Witten did.
No.
And Greg Olson's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, here, do we have time?
Yeah. Pete.
Come here for a minute.
Come sit down. You got 2 minutes.
So when we were on... When the Witten stuff broke, we were on before, like you just were pretty quick, like, you know, well, you know, now obviously it's another 5 years for Hall of Fame. Do you think he's a surefire, like, is he a scream first ballot Hall of Famer to you?
Well, I don't know. We had a problem with the first ballot. Everybody's got to be a first ballot. Why do you got to be a first ballot?
I'm with you.
Is Troy Polamalu first ballot? He shouldn't be. He should not be.
I think he's more of a first ballot conversation than Witten.
No way. No way.
Why do you say that?
Witten's was a better player at his position than Polamalu was.
I don't know. You think Witten impacted a game? Like, go ask Coach Cower about how Troy impacted football games.
I get
whether it.
Whether
it showed up in the stat sheet
or not. He also coached him.
Yeah.
He also coached him.
No, I know.
I'm sure if you ask most people who played against Polamalu, though.
I don't think Polamalu, in talking to a
Polamalu
lot of...
Polamalu was the
I'll
best
be
safety
with you.
In football.
No, he was. He wasn't better than Reed.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
And by the way,
given year he was better than Ed Reed.
Not to me.
Different players, though.
They were different players. Yeah. He was at times. He was a liability in pass coverage. Polamalu.
Oh, that's right. You put him on the all overrated team.
I did. I thought he was overrated.
That's why he retired. He gave up football because Pete put him on a
Yeah, well, maybe he did.
You know why Pete hates him forever? Because Tebow threw that pass over his head in the game Ryan Clark couldn't play. And then I think it's more your hatred of Tebow.
I don't hate
crystallized
Tebow.
Crystallized in that
is
play.
Is Tim Tebow your friend?
You now project that onto Troy Polamalu and his entire career.
In fact, badge of honor is I'm probably one of the few people that Tim Tebow has actually blocked on Twitter. He blocked me. And I look, if I were him, I would have blocked him too. There's no doubt.
But I get the sense that Witten's going first ballot because of the Cowboys and because
it
of Monday
probably
Night
depends
Football.
On the timing. It probably depends on the timing too and like who we're talking about. Like
let's say who retires.
I think Witten will get in before Gates into the Hall of Fame.
And I don't think he should.
No, Gates gets in before Witten.
I don't know.
He's got the all-time touchdown record.
Gates is going to be done.
I think
Gates is going to be done now.
Right.
I think Witten, or they get
Gates will have a year on.
I mean, the first time, should Urlacher have been a first time?
No, that's the name I brought up.
But Jason Taylor have been a first time?
No, but you're proving my point. I think this guy fits that mold.
Who's going to be the potential retirement candidates next season?
Detirement.
No, retirement.
Who's going to retire?
Who's going to unretire?
No, who's going to retire after the 2019 season? Potential candidates. That'll be first ballot Hall of
Larry
Famers.
Larry Fitzgerald?
Along with, okay, so he's ahead of him. That's one, for sure.
But he's not a tight end, obviously.
Huh?
No, but they only put five in, so you can't go by position.
There's one. Whitworth? Is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
Okay.
Suggs? No.
He's not a first ballot. I mean, he might be an eventual.
No.
You put Witten in over Frank Gore?
I would.
They're going to
really?
They're not going to put Witten and Gates in at the same time.
They won't have to.
What?
It's very likely Gates is done playing.
You think so?
I think he's done. Okay. They had to get him in shape. He could barely get back last year. Rivers was like,
he doesn't want to quit
at the training camp. I said, is he coming back?
Players,
and he goes,
potentially.
I saw him last week. I get
Jay and so many other positions that you know what I mean.
Is he a first ballot guy? I mean, that's the what you have to compare it to.
That year. Well, I mean, they still got to get...
Because if Larry Fitzgerald retires after 2019, which is his expectation, he's a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
Yes. Polamalu is not a first-ballot Hall of Famer. He's just not.
Right. But he will be.
I don't know if he will be.
Hey, we got to take a quick break.
How many years does he have to go?
He's up there next year.
We have to take a quick commercial break. But we'll be back with more on the Pick 6 Podcast.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
All right, now, before the break, we were talking about Jason Witten, who's a Hall of Famer, with Jason Lockenfora, Pete Prisco, and Jamie Eisenberg. Now, through the magic of human movement.
Amongst
friends. Good friends. Joined by John Breach, JLC, still here, and Ryan Wilson. What's up, Breacher?
Well, I feel like I'm here to replace Prisco. We're the same height, even trade out, the way
you
know, I see it.
I think you should start your own podcast and call it The Breacher Report.
I'm in.
Ooh.
And then I can license stuff, and this would be great. I'm in.
Okay, cool.
It won't compete with the Pick 6 Podcast.
Ryan, you should start your own podcast.
What should it be called?
And then, after you build it up for a year, I'll take it over.
Yeah.
And then you'll be kicked out. How's that sound?
Brings back memories.
Jason, you have your own podcast.
Yeah, but
be
it's
more
the
opinionated.
Thing.
Yeah, yes. But like if you're into Baltimore,
there you go.
If you like,
maybe I'll get Lamar Jackson on it sometime.
Have you ever had Ray Lewis on it?
Yes. Yeah. Multiple times.
Really? Really?
Yeah. It was Baltimore podcast. I would assume so.
Are you and Ray Lewis friends?
No.
But he's been on your podcast multiple times.
But you would call him a friend. If you were the host of the Be More Opinionated podcast, then you would consider Ray Lewis a friend. But probably, again, I'm with Prisco on this one, the rare time. I think I share a collective friend definition now with Prisco. That would not meet our standard.
Breach had a good point. I think, like,
bring it up. So here it is. Here is my gauge for whether or not you are someone's friend. If you are in a complete different city that neither of you live in, so say you're visiting
Austin,
a neutral third party city. Say I'm in Austin, Texas. I see on Twitter that Jason Lockenfour is also in Austin, Texas. If I shoot him a text and say, hey, let's meet up for a beer, and he says yes, we're friends. You don't meet up with random people, strangers, in a random city to have beer unless you feel comfortable with that person.
That's fuddy-duddy in me coming out, but I think that may still be a little loose, though.
It's loose. Oh, it's loose. It's loose.
I still think, because like there could be an acquaintance and you see somebody on Twitter who you follow each other, but maybe they're like cooler than you or they have a bunch more followers, but you see that they're stuck at the same airport as you and you say, hey, I'm at the Country Joe's bar in Concourse A and they meet you. Right, that checks all your boxes, but that doesn't pass my smell test.
I think
I'm not willing to go there.
I think the definite, like, if you're talking about, like, and we were talking about, like good, your good close circle of friends, I think the definition is also similar. If you're in their city, you're visiting to a different city, like they live in a different city, and you, like, whether or not you call or text them is defines that to me.
Okay, how about JLC? You get thrown overboard on a cruise. If the person is willing to jump in and save you, they're your friend.
That could just be a good Samaritan.
Yeah, that could be someone who's...
That person's my friend.
That could be the
now.
Coast Guard.
Nah, they don't even know my name. They didn't even know who I am. How could they be my friend just because they saved my life? So it'd be like if I saw a drowning dog and saved it. And
yeah, that dog's going to follow you around everywhere.
That was your best friend.
I don't even know that dog's name. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't even tell the
story. That dog is your dog now, so you can name it whatever you want.
I feel like Brenton probably has more real-life friends than Facebook friends, which I don't think anyone else on planet Earth would say.
I have a, really? I have
a, in his mind,
by his definition.
Yeah. One of my really good friends.
Here we go.
Carr, he's in my wedding. I mean, that's a really good friend.
What's his name?
Carr.
Carr?
Carr, C-A-R-R. Carr, okay. James Carlton McLam
that
Jr.
That is too good. That's too good to be true.
He has Jackson, like, McKenzie. He has all these, I mean, when you go to prep school.
You got a dude named McKenzie?
I know a dude named Wills.
There you go. Look at that. Can you imagine?
Multiple with an S.
Do you ever just want to punch him in the face?
I find it highly offensive.
Okay.
Yeah. Highly offensive. As a Will, I am.
If my parents called me Wills, I would like refuse to go by it.
I also have a good friend who named his son Wills. So I hopefully Jordan is not listening to this podcast.
Wills.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway. Football news. Kyler Murray, we talked about him before.
Yeah.
Do you think it matters that he's not throwing or running, Ryan?
No. We've been talking about this all day.
Yeah, but not on this podcast.
No, you're right, but I'm just saying.
This podcast is all Will cares about.
This is my podcast.
Will's podcast.
Until the Breacher Report takes over.
Until Ryan takes it over and then I take it over.
That's right, then he kills me. It doesn't matter.
Just aggregate all of his content under Breacher Report.
With SEO titles? Like,
write down what he says and then say it yourself in your own voice and then steal the
clips from him. Did you see what happened with that Charles Tillman thing? This is crazy. It's so perfectly 2019 media. Some dude from Bleacher Report.
Not Breacher Report.
Read the Chicago Tribune article about... Peanut Tillman
becoming an FBI agent like a long time ago,
ago. But he read it this past week.
So the article's from February 2018,
February 23rd, 2018.
Right.
He read it this past week, wrote about it,
and then it started getting headlines.
Everybody else aggregated it and was like citing
what a
Bleacher
neat story.
But it's like he graduated a year ago. It blows my mind, and I don't want to like dog the kid because like that could have happened to anybody. Like you just missed the date.
Yeah, we're not going to name his name. We're not that mean.
I don't even know what his name is. I didn't recognize it, but
it was probably one of Brinson's friends.
Yeah, Will somebody.
If you track the name, you probably have the
Brinson burner account.
I feel bad. I hope he's not my friend.
A story that was a year old went viral.
Became a new scoop.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It's very 2019.
And then my favorite part of the story is that Brinson shamed Bleacher Report into deleting their tweet.
They deleted it?
Yeah, it's deleted.
Nice.
You came at him.
I quoted and said the story's from 2018.
Jackwads.
And then about 3 hours
later,
the tweet was deleted.
It's just frustrating to me that like, that's something that can happen in 2019 because, And like there was that whole story about the grades in North Carolina. Did you hear about that?
Huh?
The, how the, they're changing the school grades in North Carolina.
Oh, they're making 85 and above an A?
Right, but it's there? But it's not for grades. It's for the grading of the school in particular.
It's not for students. It's for the overall grade.
And I'm
going to
saw something else.
But somebody,
some state is thinking of changing their actual grades
to where
85 becomes
no. A. That's what some website reported that North Carolina was doing. They didn't read. It was a one-page bill that went before.
Are you telling me JLC fell for fake news? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
I apparently did.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he fell for a real news site writing fake news.
Right.
Yeah, a real news site writing fake news. But, like, that's the definition of fake news. And it's – but like, the thing about the Bleacher Report bothers me because that's why people distrust the media. Because people make these mistakes and there's no accountability because we just churn on. Like,
just to be clear, aren't you the person who tweeted about Chris Long giving the finger or whatever in the stands that he didn't do that?
In fact, he tweeted back at me and said, I did not do that. I said, I'm sorry, Chris Long.
So you,
I apologize. And then I followed up and apologized.
All right, so just so we're clear, he's part of the problem.
I forgot that we had that exchange.
When did that take place?
2 years, 3 years ago?
I was going to say,
we follow each other on Twitter. We might be,
would you consider him a friend?
I would not consider us friends.
So tell JLC the story. Because this is when he's with the Eagles.
Yeah, I
think the Panthers.
No. He wasn't. It was before the.
It was in Carolina. The game took place.
Patriots, I think. Patriots Panthers. Okay. And it looked like he flicked off fans leaving the stadium.
Gotcha.
He was really doing something else. I would have Chris Long. I would try and have Chris Long on the podcast, except he does like lots of other podcasts. So I don't want to be the guy who. Like, I would like to talk to Chris Long about
like,
music.
You think you'd be the guy like to pile on?
No. It'd be like. You don't want to do another podcast?
What the hell? You can't hurt to ask.
That's true. I would like to talk to him about music because he's a huge MMJ, My Morning Jacket fan.
Okay. Oh,
and like Waylon Jennings and all that kind of stuff.
So but you still told a lie on him.
And I apologize.
Well, I guess you misinterpreted the image.
Right. I made a mistake.
You don't remember what he was actually doing?
I mean, like everybody's going to make mistakes in journalism. I get it.
John's never made one mistake.
I'm not going to sit here and say Wilson's right, but, you know. That's all.
What's the worst journo mistake you've ever made, Jason, that you can describe on here?
The worst blow-up I ever had, I still don't really think I made a mistake. But it, like, had this been at a time when you weren't, like, writing stories on Tandy Radio Shack things, like, it probably would have been a big deal. I guess you want me to tell a story?
I
will. Okay. So like I'm covering. I'm an intern.
Truth be told, I've sort of run out of combine storylines.
Yeah, so I'm kind of sick of talking about football too.
Yeah.
So I was an intern at the Baltimore Sun, and it's the year of Cal Ripken's going to break the streak, and the owner didn't like Cal, and Cal didn't like the owner, and the owner had been publicly fuming. I'm sorry, privately fuming.
This is like 1994.
To confidants, like throughout the year, like we got to get him off third base, like this is hurting the team, or we got to get him off a short and move him to third. So all this is bubbling under. So every time the Orioles went on a road trip, the first thing they would do is there was so much media for Cal that Cal would do his own press conference at the beginning of the road stand, at the beginning of the three-game series or whatever. So I would do the grunt work and just listen. He's saying the same quotes all the time. Like, nothing's ever really changing, but we got to play defense because what if he says something groundbreaking and we don't have it in the Baltimore Sun? Like, so Buster Olney was the beat writer at the time. Ken Rosenthal's the columnist. They would always send me off.
It's a strong lineup.
Yeah. No, those guys are the best.
So you were
they were my mentors. Yeah, I'm the intern.
Wow.
Are they friends?
So we're at Yankee Stadium.
Is Ken Rosenthal friend?
Ken Rosenthal's a friend. Absolutely.
I'm not like questioning it.
I still talk to Kenny all the time. Okay. Buster, we don't talk as much.
You call him Kenny. That's friend.
Yeah. Buster, I don't know that I could still call a friend. Like, he's somebody I'm forever indebted to. I think the world of him. But we just don't talk the way Kenny and I still do. And you know my friend. I have a tight
circle. Tight circle.
So we're at Yankee Stadium. Cal does his spiel. Basically, there was no real news there. I didn't quote him. I just kind of, like, as a .. note, you know, said, you know, Ripken talked about they weren't having the season everybody thought they were going to have. And I just sort of paraphrased something he said. And the owner went nuts, like started calling people and going crazy and like started like, I don't know if he called the manager, but he didn't like the connotation of it. And so Cal, who was super methodical and everything with Cal was a negotiation, even with experienced journalists, much less me.
just basically destroyed me in the visiting clubhouse.
To your face?
Yankee Stadium. Like, was going out.
What?
And so much as Cal Ripken would go off, and it was totally out of context, and it should have been direct quotes, and that wasn't the spirit of what I said. Like, literally, I think I probably wrote two or three sentences. I was, like, a junior in college.
Oh, you're a lifelong Orioles fan.
Well, at the time, I'm not, because you're covering it, whatever.
But, wait,
yeah, like, I mean, I remember Cal's first opening day. I was there as a fan with Travis Hollum, who was my friend in school.
I mean,
I remember he hit the home run against the Royals.
I'm not suggesting you were
an
Orioles fan when you're covering, but like.
Off on me to the point where, like, Kenny and people had to, like, kind of, like, create separation.
Oh, my God.
And, like, the whole media, like, the whole New York media is, like, turning back, looking at me.
It's the Yankees?
Like, I'm the one he's going off on. This is in the visitor's clubhouse at Yankee Stadium. And it became this whole thing in the local papers. And then Peter Angelos, like, who never talked, like, then he went on the record. And I got caught, really, you know what I mean? It was, like, the subplot to this major, like, Battle of the Titans that had been playing out privately for months. And somehow Peter didn't like what I sort of put in Cal's mouth, which I thought did capture the spirit of what he was saying, but obviously,
dude, that's kind of crazy. They went off like a junior.
Like, literally, like, Kenny had to, like, be like, dude, that's enough. Like, you know, he's 20, you're 19 years old. Like, you made your point, Cal. Like, had to kind of, like, separate, like, diffuse the situation.
Now, you talk
to Cal.
Not
that it was ever remotely physical or anything,
right,
but it was like, I mean, it's like the Yankees are, like, they're starting to be good again, and, like, they ended up winning. I think that was, I don't know if that was the Jeffrey Meyer year or not, but, like, there had to be 100 journalists in this room.
And
like,
Cal Ripken really is lighting you up.
And he's lighting me up.
Now, have you talked to Cal subsequent to that? Does he remember any of that?
He has to.
So, you haven't talked to him.
Oh, I've talked to him, but I've never brought that up. He's come on my podcast a couple of times.
Oh, you didn't bring up
remember
the podcast?
That you were the guy.
Wait, so are you friends with Cal Ripken? Like, Cal, we took a, like, I saw him on the sidelines of Super Bowl 50. We talked for a while.
So, you friends?
A couple selfies. No, he's not
and
a friend.
And you didn't bring up the fact that he blew up on you?
He has to know. It's like awkward. I think
you just never talked about.
You were so young. He might not know. It was you. Like, he remembers the blow up, but doesn't know it was you.
He has to.
What? But he's like, man. I remember this one time I chewed out his skin in college,
and it's so not a Cal move. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, the owner started taking shots at him, so then now he's coming after me, and that's not what I meant to say. And
now, Brenton, do you think Jason was more emotional after that or after the Lamar Jackson thing?
Prisco and JLC.
If anyone has video of this blow up, please email it to the Pick Six Podcast.
Yeah, I don't think there was video
this
back
was like,
then. Yeah.
I mean, there was video.
This
was great.
1894.
It was like
the
Zapruder film. No, it was like 96 or
96.
Something.
96.
All right, we have to wrap up this podcast because there is video to be done for CBS
I was
Sports.
Asked about Kyler Murray. I got one word in, and we moved on to better and better stories. But
is that what happened?
Yeah, that's
you
okay.
said no, and then we jumped on
well,
to Kyler.
I think that's both.
No,
for all
I
us.
Think that the story was that's much better.
The final segment of the podcast was one word about
good
Kyler
news.
Murray.
We'll be back Saturday, and so we're going to do shows. Oh yeah, you're recording a podcast on Saturday. Once we get the quarterback interviews tomorrow, Ryan, then we're going to come in here and we will do a podcast. Maybe we'll get some Kyler Murray audio. But that's it for Friday's show. Enjoy Saturday's bonus show. Thank you guys for hopping on, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.